Now boarding for Rebuild of Joycast, your weekly destination for anime, manga, and more.
It's only polite if you introduce the show, Cody.
Welcome back to Joycast, Rebuild of Joycast. I'm Cody Rock, and here is your host with the most, Mr. Entertainment himself, Ivan Leroy.
You make it sound like it's like only my show, like... Introduce yourselves. Be good to yourselves, you two.
Yeah, okay. Hi. It is me, Stina. You may know me from such things as everything on the channel. That's about it.
And then we have... I'll introduce you, Cody. The podfather himself. Everyone, this is the guy who produces all the podcasts for Joyride. Cody Rock.
Yes.
Joycast. Well, now I just look like a dick.
Right. Cody, is this the first time we've had you on this show, or is or do I have Swiss cheese brain?
This is the second time.
Oh.
Okay, you have encyclopedic memory. What was the first time we had you on the show?
It was the very last video podcast that we did.
Really? Okay. Yes. So yeah, definitely a whole different era then.
Yeah, it was like episode 60-something? Something about that.
Wow. Yeah.
Might have been sooner than that, but yeah, okay. I could not remember if we've had you on the show before, but yeah. So, in case people forgot or did not know, Cody Rock, you are a heavily established voice actor in your own right, and we are just very happy to have you on board with Joyride, where you produce our podcast. Sorry we're canceling this one.
sorry we decided
this without your feedback, because this show's been on a bit of a autopilot for a while. We say you produce it, but like we've been running away with it for quite a few months now. But Cody, what have you been up to these days? Like,
that's a great question. I've just been grinding away, dude. Just been working constantly. And
What does that mean?
It means in voice actor terms, everything under NDA, right?
Well, I've been doing not necessarily under NDA, but I've been doing a lot of, recently it's been a lot of corporate, some video games, some,
Video games,
I'm sorry?
Too.
That's not anime, except for the video games, that's sort of anime. It's anime with effort, on my part.
Anime with effort.
Yo, nice. Any video games that you'd announce right now, or is that still secret?
Those are currently under NDA, but I have, done some, yeah, I've just been doing a lot of there's been a lot of corporate narration happening recently, and I
jealous.
I signed with within the last month or so, maybe a little over a month. I signed with a new agency in Boston. That was pretty great.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
Kids listening at home who are eyes are glazing over because it's not anime. Guys, corporate narration is how you make money in this industry, by the way.
You don't
do it doing anime. Just telling you right now.
Oh yeah, nah, legit.
Cody is a real one. Cody is a real great professional, and it's
like secret union anime rates are lower than non-union like Western indie animation rates. It's pretty fucking crazy.
That's what you just learned last night.
Yeah, I just learned this last night. Like, I won't get into it, but yeah, like I had two comparable gigs in my inbox, and I was like, oh, that's insane.
Yeah, you blew
like,
my happy, mind with that.
Happy to do anything, really, but like, wow. I turned to Ivan, I'm like, did you know, fun fact, that in general...
I'm sure Val knew. I'm sure Val already knew this fact. Because
here's the thing. Val's been cast in animation projects.
Well, he just has such a prickly relationship with the union. Anytime you've ever listened to his podcast and us talk about unions, he's very prickly about that. But otherwise, before we really get the show on the road, I do gotta mention, Val and I stick very closely to My Hero Academia's manga as well as One Piece's. Thankfully, this week, the reason why Val's not here, he's been in LA. Working, and he just got back. He's still jet lagged, so I said, bro, take another week off. Check Twitter if you want it up to date now, or wait till next week when he comes back and dishes. And thankfully, there isn't really much on a discussion level for My Hero or One Piece this week. They came back from Golden Week. My Hero still Yusei running. Like, the music's playing. Deku's running towards the big boss. It's the final rush. Hilariously, or coincidentally, the new intro for season 7 but strikes a similarity to this moment, which is really cool. But I have to remark that Horikoshi is pulling an Oda move here, and he's like half finishing the art right now. Some panels are looking real rough. The beginning looks good, and it starts to like fall apart. Like, so Horikoshi, I think we are really seeing the end here, because he's falling apart now. One Piece, 1114. We're just continuing on the whole thing about the world's going underwater, and he connects it to this flame that he and the world government have called the Mother Flame. He will further elaborate in 2 weeks because Oda is going on another break, because why not? But I do want to remark is that we're not going to do much theorizing, not at all. Val's the One Piece expert, so we'll leave it to him when he comes back. But I do want to strike a mention that Val and I kind of downplayed the reveal last week, or last episode, about how the fact that in One Piece the world was going underwater and who gives a shit, because the world's already mostly water and islands anyways. What we forgot to realize, we were so caught up in the moment, is the fact that in a world where Devil Fruit users rule the roost and their weakness is seawater, actually that is quite a fucking problem. So kudos to Oda on that. Because we downplayed too much. I wanted to make sure we didn't get too much flack for that. That yes, we understand the gravity of this, actually. That, yeah, guys like Luffy and them, they'll be stuck on boats forever now. If even then. Otherwise, yeah, I'll bring it back to you guys. Or actually, I'll bring it back to Stina specifically. You and I, in this we took like every other week off. Like that, we were trying to stifle, like stagger our breaks. Because we were all westbound. Me and Val were all westbound, but in different states. You and I took a very quick little vacay to Portland, Oregon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Portland. Beautiful. Beautiful, like you would expect from the Pacific Northwest. But if I'm going to be real with you guys, now that I've been to there in Seattle, Pacific Northwest, kind of overrated, fam. How do you feel? Cody, have you been to Seattle or Portland? Or?
Nah,
overrated?
I've been on the West Coast, but I've only been to Burbank, so I've been spoiled.
It's been spoiled? No, you went to shit. If Burbank's just freaking sewers full of poop, so...
Okay, you don't know a Midwesterner, so
I am.
He's
I'm a
by
blue...
virtue incorrect. Because for him, the Pacific Northwest is not far enough away from home. Like, mileage-wise it is, but it rains there all the time. It's worse
yep,
in Portland, obviously,
true.
Than it is out where we are.
The weather sucks.
Like, it's very nice in the summer, but Portland specifically just has the most abysmal springs. Like, it rains all the time. It's pretty cold. Like, oh my god.
And the reason why I give it flack is the fact that, so we went the weekend of the NFL draft was happening in Detroit, and I was so angry. I wanted to be there. Because it looked like a blast. And go figure, people, before that draft happened, everyone was shit-talking Detroit. Everyone's, oh, it's so dangerous. It's so dirty.
The sign is ugly.
The sign is ugly. Everyone, look up Detroit sign on YouTube. There's a rapper who raps about this Hollywood-esque sign that they just installed on the I-95 or whatever.
Even
outside Detroit.
Even better diss track than both of Kendall's.
I agree. I haven't listened to them, but I do agree. The Detroit sign is the best diss track I've ever heard. But anyways, yeah. So everyone should talk in Detroit. What happened to the draft? The previous record for most people at an NFL draft was 300,000 people, just shy of that. Over 750,000 people showed up for this draft. Over half of them showed up for the first night. Over an entire weekend. Like, crazy. Detroit
wild.
Fucking showed up. It was awesome. So to compile on top of that, we go to Portland. And there are people, and here's the thing, let me get this straight immediately. I don't blame the unhoused here. I don't blame homeless people, okay? This country fucking sucks for you, okay? Shit is hard. I understand why you gotta do what you gotta do, but the average American, stop shit-talking Detroit. We don't have homeless people camping out on the fucking streets right in front of fucking
hold
business
up,
buildings.
Hold up, we gotta back up just a little bit here, because I disagree on some
just
points.
Flagrantly sitting in the way of people.
Well,
like,
but here's the
we
thing.
We have to walk on the
Why
roads.
Why do you think they do that? Why do you think they disrupt business with their unhousedness?
to send a fucking message.
Exactly. That's not, and that's the thing.
No, he's not. I understand.
The beauty of Portland, culturally.
Yes.
Is that they are there because the city specifically does not hassle, harass, and force their unhoused residents to move.
Yeah, they cohabitate. They cohabitate, but that's not my beef. My beef is stop talking shit about Detroit, about the things you don't like. They're in other cities. Baltimore and Chicago are so much worse.
I mean, my point is, that means the Detroit cops are especially bastards.
Oh, no. Detroit
like,
cops are fucking bastards.
That's the main point here for me.
Yes, but tourists are safe. Tourists talk about not going to Detroit because they feel unsafe.
Yeah, that makes way more, yeah.
You will never be safer as a tourist than in Detroit. So stop bitching.
You will feel so unsafe as a tourist in Portland, and what's ironic is you'll never be safer in your life.
Okay, tourist outsiders, just admit it right now, black people make you feel uncomfortable. What other issue do you have with Detroit?
You said it.
Stop it.
They goddamn
said it. Stop bitching about Detroit. We had nearly 1 million people there over a weekend in one, like, square foot of a fucking park, and everyone had a fucking blast. They hung around the whole city, around the Riverwalk. It was a fucking blast. We put up, as that tweet, my favorite tweet, they changed the street sign, and someone went, they're pulling out the fine china. Detroit's a cheap place. It's just like the rest of Michigan and any fucking blue-collar worker city. It's a cheap place. But don't say it's unsafe or dirty, because I've been around now since I've been running the convention circuit, since I've been traveling with you, Stina, and I've seen a lot worse. Like, I owe Detroit apologies. I've said things about Detroit. And going out now I think Detroit's an A-tier city now. I thought Detroit was a B+. It's a fucking straight A now, after what I've been seeing. But it'll never hold a candle to Boise, though.
What?
Boise, Idaho. But Boise's S+.
Oh, it's so beautiful. There's so much to do.
It can't be S+. It's an S. It would be an S+ if it wasn't for the fucking Nazis. But
That's true.
But again, just like how Portland cohabitates with its homeless,
we cohabitate with our Nazis.
Well, your Nazis are all talk. They bitch
that is
and whine.
True. Because they put the flags out and deface monuments.
Very first time I went to Boise, my very first trip, and Steve Warman said, "Hey, we do have a Nazi problem." And I went, "Okay, well, again, Detroit has a cop problem, so let's see who's got it worse." I definitely don't appreciate the threats. I don't like when I went there. The Nazis were trying to freaking have a fucking gun rally outside an elementary school.
Yeah, but was insane.
Like a block away from your apartment, and then I got there, and then no one showed up and went, "Oh yeah, that explains the modern Nazi." All talk. But at the same time, it's like, if I'm running this fucking city, regardless if I'm a fucking Nazi or not in government, I don't think I appreciate my property values being lowered by petty words. I don't think I like that.
No.
The fact that they can just say shit and make people feel unsafe and reduce the value of housing in the area, in that beautiful capital area.
Boise
is beautiful, spaced out. I fucking love it. And that's the reason why I say the Pacific Northwest is overrated. There is a reason we'll get to it why we go to the Pacific Northwest. But Boise's got all of that. Boise's got all of that and some space. And all the things you bitch about Detroit, also is not in Boise.
There's nature right on your doorstep. And like, you can drive in any direction for like 45 minutes and you're like in these beautiful mountains and shit.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I love
Boise.
Yeah,
basically overall what I'm saying is that in the spring, means they always do an annual spring trip to Boise, but we started to shake it up and go to Portland. And about the first like 5 minutes of downpouring rain, I was really missing Boise very badly. Because Boise's weather, I mean, it's the desert. It will get hot. But I can deal with heat better than I can deal with freaking rain and wind and dark.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It was practically like a rainforest, but cold, you know?
But the gardens were beautiful.
Yeah, so there is a reason.
We met Cody's God.
Yeah, that's why we got to bring Cody back in here in this conversation. So this is the reason why you do go to Portland. Portland is still a must go, but make it a quick weekend. And pick a very good, like, pick the summertime, where maybe the rain isn't as prevalent. The fucking gardens and the parks here are astounding. They are one in a million. You can't get this anywhere else. Oh my gosh. People will travel overseas to Japan just for the temples. Guys, you don't have to leave your backyard. Portland has got the Grotto, is it called?
Yeah, it's called the Grotto.
It's like a Catholic temple. Okay.
To Mary. Like, it's specifically dedicated to Mary.
Yeah, the Mary as a saint. Like, it's, they built a temple into the square face of a cliff. And it's like, it is like a wonder of the world. I could not believe it. I thought I was somewhere else. Crazy beautiful. The top of the cliff, which you have to pay to see, starts to turn into a tourist trap, kind of. It's beautiful. But it's like
I kind of love it up there because I feel like there's a lot of just open space with flowers to walk in. Like,
it turns into an open air art museum, basically.
Yeah,
it's still worth seeing, but I'm just like, this is like, compared to what is free to see, the stuff to see freely is just these temples and fucking ruins.
Yeah,
in fucking real time that are dedicated to like the first like Catholic settlers in that area, and specifically the Saint Mary that they fucking looked at. Like, it's crazy beautiful.
It's sick, dude. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, so like when we got there, immediately I thought about you, Cody, and we were just sending you fucking pictures and tweeting you
yes,
about
you
it.
Yes, you were. I remember the pictures. Those are great.
Yeah, everyone wants to scroll through my Twitter at Leroy Gendary. There's one. There's me staring the face of this cliff. Crazy.
It's huge. So beautiful. There's like water flowing down the back wall. They have these prayer candle altars on either side.
They line the sides just full of candles. Like, it's a Catholic temple, but part of me feels like I'm in South America. Part of me feels like I'm in Nepal. Like those temples with the candles and the flags.
Yes.
It feels like that, but you're in a subtropical fucking deciduous forest. Like, it's just, oh my God. It was something you got to see once in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Then 10 minutes away, you've got the freaking, the Japanese gardens.
Oh my God. So beautiful.
Again, there's no temples per se, but if you want to get a slice of Japan in your backyard, Portland, Oregon's freaking Japanese garden. They've got a tea.
There's a tea house there. Yeah. Like there's both. Okay. So at the front, there's like, you know, obviously the souvenir shop, and then there's a little coffee shop where you can get like matcha and stuff. And then as you walk through the garden, like, first of all, make it meditative because, oh my God, I was like, I am inside the piece of art. I totally get it right now. but like there's a part where you can see like an actual tea house. And I think they do tea ceremony there sometimes. Like they do demonstrations or something. So yeah. And then there's like in the middle of this garden, there's a little gallery, like a little art gallery, in front of this sand garden. It's really incredible. Like, I don't know. Like, there's a whole little Japan
area there. Yeah, Zen sand garden.
And a whole little Chinatown and, like...
And then, like, behind that, you've got the freaking Oregon Zoo. Oh my gosh, I'm a zoo guy, guys. And whenever we go to a new city, I gotta test your zoo, okay? If I, more so than ranking cities, I gotta rank your city's zoo. Okay, that's my favorite thing to do, and I think Oregon so far has got the best. Okay? They've got, like, they have a whole section. It's the best part. It's a huge zoo. Like, it takes, like, 2 to 3 hours to get around it. Just sheer size. Incredible. Also, it, like, dedicates, like, half that space to its own native wildlife. Like, it feels very like, if you've ever been to Disney's Animal Kingdom, where it's, like, you don't really see the fences, per se. It's all kind of dug in. You're practically a part of it. Oh my gosh, it's beautiful. It's dug into the cliffside. There's waterfalls. There's bears, black bears, climbing through the trees above your head. They're just allowed free reign of this fucking zoo. Because obviously they're well fed. They don't want to fuck with you. But I was like, as we were walking and we looked down to this pit, we're like, where's the bears? And we're walking around. And also we see people pointing at the sky. And we turn and like 100 feet above your head, a giant redwood tree. There's just like 3 bears there, just freaking picking their teeth.
Vibin'.
Just, you know, picking their teeth with the remains of a child they picked up there. Oh, just like so having a good ass time. Otherwise, they have a huge freaking elephant park. They got a train. So if all your autistic needs weren't met yet, there's a train there. Also, one thing that many zoos don't have, because it's a Pacific Northwest area, they had the seals and the sea otters.
Seals are my favorite. They're so graceful. Like, they look so playful. I don't know, man. I sat there staring at these seals for like a good 20 minutes.
Yeah,
I
she was memorized. Because they had them, the freaking enclosures for these are so beautiful. You can look at them from the top, you can look at them from below. Sea otters, I never get to see enough sea otters. I love them. Unfortunately, I'm about 7 years too late, because one of the reasons why I wanted to go to the zoo specifically was, famously, they had a sea otter who was famous for masturbating and dunking basketballs. And there's videos of this on YouTube. Not of the masturbation, I'm sure there is, but I didn't see those. But there was like a highlight, they had like a highlight reel with rap music of this freaking sea otter like doing tricks and dunking basketballs.
Truly a queen.
And she was a legend, a true queen, but apparently she died like many years ago. So I'm too late to this. So that knocks you down some points, Portland. But yeah, all this wonderful, beautiful space, these beautiful parks. But mind you, it is downpouring rain and it's 10 degrees colder than it should be and it's miserable. And I don't know, man. It's a Portland's struggling at a hard B for me.
Well, you know, a B is still a passing grade, I guess.
It's more than a passing grade. It's good.
It's like an A minus for me, I think. Like, I like a...
I like it better than Seattle. Sorry, Freddy. I like it better than Seattle.
I like it a lot better than Seattle. The roads make sense, which is all I could ever ask except for the merging bits.
So when I talk about the Pacific Northwest, this is included. The roads are fucked. Even in Portland, I'm sorry, but most of Portland, roads should not exist.
They have great public transportation.
But even then, it should not fucking... Roads should not exist in Portland. They wind and twist. With Seattle, they're just poorly planned. I mean, there's still some hillside, but it's more like Ann Arbor, Michigan, where it's still built for it. Portland, it is like twists and turns and cliffs, and like half the cars have their fenders torn off.
That is true.
And their suspension's fucked up.
You know, I do take it back, because the road on our Airbnb, like, that street was so fucking narrow and built right next to a park.
Cars do not belong in Portland. The 21st century does not belong in Portland. Y'all need to be living in the forest, like the planet, like Caesar from Planet of the Apes. Because oh my god.
Like God fucking intended. Like, that's beautiful.
I got massive ape vibes from that trip, especially the parks. We also went to the Arboretum, the Hoyt Arboretum. We only went for a little bit because we got intimidated. Because we went there, and it's like, it's on like Proctor. Like, there's like a guest area at the very beginning of it, and then you walk in. Within 5 feet, you are in the woods, you are on your fucking own.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I can imagine so many people get fucking lost in there.
I don't think so. The paths are pretty clear.
They're clear-ish. They're just really long and there's not much civilization in between. I'm like, if you're a native, you know it. But tourist, be fucking careful.
I was perfectly comfy. I was a little bit spooked.
And
I didn't realize you were freaked out, so you
Because, again,
know.
It's dark and rainy, and, like, we keep going deeper, and it's freezing. Because, again, you got the canopy tree cover. It's already cold. You're practically in a cave made of trees.
I gotta take this man camping. I swear to God.
Like, Eurocamp. Like, Eurocamp. I wanna go solo
like
camping.
Like, Eurocamp. We're gonna go camping.
But, yeah. But it was beautiful. Beautiful, but I said spooked, but I mean intimidating. It's just like, intimidated by the sheer splendor of nature.
That's the best feeling, though.
Yeah, it's amazing. No, it was incredible. Ugh. Again, that's why I say I don't like the city of Portland, but Portland, your parks are fucking S-class. One of a kind, must see before you die fucking parks.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, but the roads, like Seattle just poorly planned. The whole Pacific Northwest is just cold and miserable. And if you're car-pilled, if you're a little gasoline queen, pavement princess, you'll try, you'll struggle, man. Like, I'm sorry, but the
transportation is too convenient.
The war on walk cells has been lost here.
I hate convenient, affordable transportation with my whole
being. We'll never be able to move that walk score.
I like paying $100 a month for car insurance.
They keep putting new roads and they keep destroying the cars. We just can't. Nature doesn't want cars here. but yeah, that was our trip. As we just had to mention, it's beautiful, but like it has taught me a lesson that I don't need to go to the Pacific Northwest anytime soon. I like the mountains. I like the mountains better.
Cody went on a recent trip. Did you not, Cody?
Cody, you went on a trip.
No. Not recently.
You didn't go to the conference? I thought you were at the conference.
What?
No. That's not happening yet. That happens in August.
Oh. What about your trip to Michigan? Oh, that's right. You canceled on us, too.
You canceled that one.
You canceled your trip to us to Michigan for the spring.
Yeah,
that wasn't very plus ultra of you.
No, it was not.
It's okay. There's no guest room anymore. We're converting that into a new studio.
That's my studio, baby.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I got my booth ordered. It should be here on fucking Thursday. I'm so pumped, dude.
Yeah, we got
to... That's cool.
Yeah, this like the brief looks people have gotten at our little Joy House. Like, we've had this, like, cloth studio, like a little holdover. We're getting the professional booth now, baby. And some other things,
little
which...
Shelf, little monitor mount.
We'll be able to announce soon, but not yet.
Not yet.
But yeah, we're working on some things. But Cody, it's business as usual for you, right? You're just grinding on the pro work and you're shaking hands and you're building your reputation.
Yeah, basically. I mean, yeah, it's just like constant grinding, constant marketing, constant auditioning, whatever else. It's just, it's the freelancer's life.
It's the life of the voice actor. You're not just voice acting. You're your own freaking marketing team, man.
Yeah, no, I'm actually thinking about hiring somebody to help me out with the marketing.
Because that's a fucking business now too. I wouldn't doubt it. It's a lot.
Yeah,
because I get that a lot with Joyride, because we don't social media enough, and I specifically myself as a writer creator don't market myself enough. But I just tell people like, dude, when do I find the time to fucking kill myself? Like, there's too much, not enough time. Too many duties, not enough time these days.
At a certain point, you gotta, you know, to focus on creative, it's getting more and more to the point where you need to outsource. You need to actually, like
when you, the voice actor, becomes a team, it becomes a business. Like, I always used to laugh at that. It was like Stina, like, you filed yourself, your service as a voice actress, as an LLC. Yeah. You as well, Cody. And I always laugh at that, like, what is the need for that business? But as I've learned and grown with other voice actors, and I mean, obviously, Ted, I've always known that, but as I've learned through you two and all my voice actor buddies, because I've always just been a writer creator and who just happens to direct, as I develop more of a respect and knowledge of the voice acting game, individual voice acting is a fucking business. Or you can just be lucky and be born in Dallas, Texas. That works out too.
Right.
You can sell your soul to Crunchyroll. But even then, that might not work these days. But otherwise, it's like, if you're gonna be remote, if you're gonna be on the move, even if you're gonna move to LA, you're gonna be a fucking business. You are like a fucking steam engine, and there's a bunch of different people with specialties who is working your engine, man. It's crazy. Well, it's crazy.
That's, again, it's the life of the independent contractor. Like, it's developing your client base. It's developing your. It's developing systems to put in place such that you can constantly generate leads, constantly generate opportunities.
It's so intimidating. It's a little scary, dude.
It's intimidating.
It can be.
Yeah, but like you, Cody, especially, like, you've been doing this for so long. It's like, it's intimidating to start. But once you get your momentum, once you get your connections, then it kind of becomes, it doesn't go on autopilot, so to say, but it does go to momentum, like you're rolling down the hill now, right?
Yeah, it's a snowball effect oftentimes, and at least from what I've seen and from the folks I've talked to. Like, there are certain things that I feel like I do a little... I won't say unprofessionally, but it's because I don't think that's the word. But
you leap into people's beds at night and shake them. I've seen the videos.
Yeah.
And you promote yourself.
Yeah.
They're coming up with that tech. If you've seen the one with Nicolas Cage, the one where he's in people's dreams.
People are
absolutely developing that technology. It's only a matter of time before we can put ads in people's dreams.
Oh, yeah. No, that's...
And you'll be in our dreams. I mean, you're already in my dreams, but now it'll be by force. It won't be voluntary anymore.
No.
But anyways, what are you saying that's so unprofessional?
Well, I don't say anything unprofessional. It's more
not.
Just
you're
like
nice.
The... I'm trying to... It didn't take the form that I thought it would, if that makes any sense. More
form
specifically,
of Lightning McQueen for Disney India, yes.
More specifically, it is a lot of social media, just a lot of like generating leads on LinkedIn, like making connections there. Just LinkedIn's a great tool. I've found that to be hugely helpful. I've booked off of LinkedIn and people have just said, hey, your demos are great. Here, have this. And I'm like, oh, okay, what do you need? XYZ.
I'm going to need your help getting my LinkedIn under control, because I have not cracked that code. And I feel like, I mean, obviously I don't focus it, but I'm like, everyone says the best opportunities are there, so I probably should start doing that.
Well, when I thought about it initially, and after speaking to a bunch of marketing people, it makes sense. That's where professionals are, and that's mm-hmm. where you can put out your services and say, hey, this is what I can do. This is what I've worked with so far. It's just another way to build credibility, but it's also where a lot more buyers are. You won't at large. You're not gonna. You know,
I'm noticing more and more, like, I'm at a point where I see all the indie animation calls on Twitter, and that's really cool. But also, I'm just like, I can tell this is not where the opportunities that are going to make this a sustainable thing are. No. So yeah, that's one of the things where I'm just like, how do you build?
Yeah.
How do you actually, Cody, you seem to be pretty good at this. How do you actually build a functional network on LinkedIn? So something that's more than just, you know, accepting invites from whoever sends them for visibility.
That is a loaded question, but I can tell you what I've been doing. That has been, I think there are LinkedIn gurus that can actually
we want to hear it from a cool voice actor guy. So tell us what your experience has been.
My experience, I've largely just, you know, reached out, connected with people, and once I'm connected with them, LinkedIn allows you to just be like, allows you to DM them at. I won't say infinitely, because that sets a wrong precedent. It allows you to do it without having to like pay for the premium version or whatever. So it's about starting a conversation, and if you can start a conversation, that's how you build. You're building know, like, and trust on when you market, and LinkedIn is another avenue such that you can approach people digitally. Where you can casually start a conversation. I've met several producers on that site, on that platform, that have been maybe have not hired me, but have at least, you know, I've been able to develop a conversation, start to develop a relationship.
They know who
you
are.
That's what it is.
And they have you in mind.
Right, yeah.
So if someone else is like, hey, I need a voice that sounds like this, they'll be like, oh, dude, there's this guy I know from, like, LinkedIn, and his name is Cody Rock, and he's totally who you're looking for.
Yeah, it's another avenue through marketing. Like, it's another avenue through which you can market. One other thing that I personally have struggled with in the past is email marketing and, you know, using a CRM to really, like, organize my contacts, organize the email addresses and things that I've gathered, and send out regular stuff. I fear spamming people, so I don't do it like every week, right? It's just keeping yourself on top of mind awareness, right? It's keeping yourself at the top of mind of potential buyers. In whatever sphere you want to work in, whether that be audiobooks, corporate, e-learning, video games, whatever. Locale helps in certain genres right now. I don't know how it's going to be, you know, next year, next month, next week. But because it could change the two of you have probably noticed, this industry has changed dramatically since when you started, right? Mm-hmm. In whatever sphere that may be, even in fanworks, for example, they're getting a little more selective now, right?
Yes.
Like, and you know, indie animation, it's becoming from what I've seen, more and more prevalent, and it's demanding more and more professional talent, for lack of a better phrase.
Yes, side note, indie animation is becoming like what indie gaming is right now. Like, full-out streaming specifically is about to become very dependent on indie animation as they all cancel their projects and they all start taking a peek at all these things that are going viral right now. What went up? Has Been Hotel, currently been picked up by HBO, right?
Yeah, I think that's it.
And Amazon, maybe?
Maybe. I haven't really been following
one of the streamings. But no, your point is valid, that because the reason why
I bring this up is I want to speak for Val, because you guys talk about developing your contacts through LinkedIn and stuff. It's like, then you got guys like Val who started very early and dug their roots entirely in indie animation, and then wound up from there with independent creators like those with Lackadaisy, with Rooster Teeth, with us at Joyride. It's like he found guys with promise early. And then those built up institutions where now he has built in work all the fucking time, because those all became something. And it's like, and you said the indie animation right now is getting more selective. It's like that grassrootness is almost not available anymore. It's like, now that you start indie animation, you almost immediately have to have a legitimate voice actor on board. You can't just find guys at your level or your buddies anymore.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, that's
the floor has risen.
No, definitely a lot of these a lot of genres. I would say all genres now have all genres of VO have a barrier to entry now. And I think many of them did to begin with. But you know, I can only speak from my experience from it, and I haven't been in the industry as long as some.
It is so infuriating to have arrived at the moment that I did, because, like, I feel like my timing has just been bad, because I'm now entering a place where barrier to entry for fucking anything is so high that even some of my coaches are like, oh, you could book with that read, or that's a booking read. And I'm like, that's cool, but I'm still not booking.
How do I get a book and roll?
How do I actually book, right? Because it's like, and I think that it's so much more hyper-competitive now, which on the one hand is good, because I couldn't even be in the marketplace if remote work were not becoming more popular. But it's a double-edged sword, because now there's an oversaturation, I feel, of the talent market, where you have to be intensely competitive. You have to have all this professional shit in place to even be taken seriously. And like, I've seen this a couple people on Twitter who I won't name. Like, it has nothing to do with anything current happening, but I've seen people that are like, oh, no one gives a shit who you are if you haven't been in like a super popular indie animation, you know? And they're like, that's just the nature of this community. And I'm like, I don't know what edge of the community you've seen, but like, everyone is very helpful here, which is very unique. And I think that's the one thing that, like, regardless of how often or infrequently I'm booking, it's easy to keep going because the community is so supportive.
Yeah. And I would also, one thing I've noticed is that the community on platforms like Twitter tend to focus on one or two genres.
Exactly.
Of VO,
exactly.
Right? Like
the genres
Twitter
that don't pay. Which...
Yeah. As we joked about at the very beginning, it's like they are obsessed with freaking anime and video games. And it's like, okay, unless you're doing mocap in Burbank, you're not getting paid for video games. And if you're doing anime, I'm sorry, you're never getting fucking paid for anime. As Stina remarked with Union, like, we were looking at rates for products she's been getting, and it's hilarious the fact that unions should be protecting voice actors in anime. They're actually making things a lot fucking worse right now.
Yeah, it's a little weird how that's going on. I can't speak for the union, but I...
None of us can.
Yeah, the other...
Val can, he's not in the union, but the union really wants Val very badly right now, and Val's like avoiding it like the plague. And for his specific reasons, I agree, because the union caters specifically to Western talent. Like, unless you live in fucking LA Burbank, the union's not gonna benefit you.
You mean American talent?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Again, that's
I'm all for unions, but yeah, it's a little unfair. the way outsiders get treated, like, and forced into it.
Unions in the acting business have kind of become something very exclusionary, which you don't really see in a lot of other labor markets.
Yes,
you
know? It's strange.
Like, it's really weird that being in a union could, not necessarily guaranteed, but could be a barrier to a less experienced actor gaining more experience.
Yeah, Val was discussing this off pod that specifically one, we're not going to name names. This is a good story, but just like a voice actor that he's a friend with travels back and forth for gigs, and they have to be secretive about it. Like, not just an NDA because you're protecting, you know, the project in question, but some voice actors will have NDAs just for themselves. Like, they'll tell companies not to announce them. They go there just for the art of it, just for the paycheck, but not the recognition. Because they get so established that they just, like, they enjoy doing it. They enjoy the work. And, of course, they enjoy the pay. But they don't want to be recognized because you get recognized enough, the union comes after your ass, and they start demanding membership fees. That, again, this specific actor works in anime and loves what they do. They live their best life. And they just want to do anime, and that's fine. If that's all you want to do, like, we were making jokes about, oh, anime doesn't pay. Some people, that's all they want to do with their lives, and then work a part-time job on the side, and all power to them. If that's your life balance, if that's what you want, that's amazing. But some people, even that balance gets threatened, because although in an ideal world, like, in most situations, as Stina pointed out, unions should be ideal. They should be helping you. When it comes to the anime voice acting industry, this particular voice actor, what they demand of him, if he gets unionized, he will actually have to pay exuberant amounts of membership and then lose work because you know how Crunchyroll is. If you're in a union, they kick your ass to the fucking curb. So it's like if he works too much and gets too much recognition, the union will find him. And if the union finds him, it's like, it's ironic, because as Val would tell me too, it's like, it's ironic that people aspire to be in the union, because for some people it's not even about the protection, it's about the recognition. It's like, oh, I'm in a union. Like,
well, it's also, like, about the healthcare.
Yeah, it's about, it's an affirmation. It's an affirmation. What I'm saying
and
is,
the pension.
What I'm saying is that despite those, despite those things, for a lot of people, it's affirmation. It's, oh,
that's
if
true.
I'm a unionized voice
and
actor.
And those are usually inexperienced actors.
Yeah, that means that means I've made it. And that's why when I address people at home, is it's a double-edged sword. Those are benefits, but if all you aspire is to be an anime voice actor, and that's completely valid, yeah, the union might not be for you. Like, when you see some voice, like, I make a lot of jokes. I should be directing this at myself, that I joke about a lot of voice actors in Texas who tend to like to lick the boot at Crunchyroll. But I do understand why, because it's like, if you just want to voice act in anime, you will lose a lot of opportunities if you're in a union, because Crunchyroll is so anti-competitive, so anti-union. Like, ideally what should happen is that Crunchyroll should be more lenient. The end of the story is, Crunchyroll should be more lenient to unions, but they never will, because Sony keeps fucking monopolizing all these fucking studios. We'll never get that fucking change. But Val was just telling me this story about this unnamed actor who wishes and will remain unnamed for as long as fucking possible, because the minute he gets recognition, we're gonna find out he's on a lot of shit, and the union's gonna fucking see and go, you owe us some money because you're a union voice actor now, and all those jobs you get, now you don't have anymore, because now they won't hire you because you're in our union. And like, well, it's that one time where I always give Val so much shit about being anti-union, but in situations like that, I see it. I see that if that's your aspiration, if that's your dream, is to do purely anime, yeah, you got a problem. But now, if you want to do Western animation, you want to do video games, especially if you want to do video games, you need to be in a fucking union. You need to be fucking
that's
protected.
True.
You need that healthcare more than anybody else, baby. Because video game voice acting is, I mean, you just said, Cody, that the game has changed. Oh my god, is video game voice acting even voice acting anymore? The way that everyone's getting vocapped now?
Well, it's acting. Yeah.
I mean, for indie, you're still showing up in the booth, and you're still doing supplemental shit, but so much of it is full-on fucking physical acting again, because these studios haven't learned that the bubble's about to burst, and everything has to be a fucking AAA Hollywood fucking blockbuster picture. It can't just be a fun video game anymore. But yeah, but I'm just saying is that video game voice acting is so fucking intense now.
Yeah.
You need those protections.
Yeah, and I think it's a I'm gonna take it a step further and say like as far as joining the union, join or don't join, that's entirely up to you.
It's your prerogative. Right? Yeah.
It's definitely a prerogative and where you want your career to go, because the best work is still union.
Yeah, I still highly suggest it. Like, even despite the story I just told, I think you should always be fucking unionized.
Okay, I'm gonna step in just real quick here to make a caveat there, because some actors are very young and very talented right out the gate and don't need a lot of tweaking, but if they have had like 2 or 3 gigs on their resume before they hit that break in those rare instances, that means they can't, like, they're gonna have a real hard time building their resume further because there's far less work available to them. So I would suggest if you're a newer actor and you have the opportunity, consider waiting.
Yeah, hold up. I agree. If you're young. Because
cut your teeth on some more shit, because once you're in the union, like, yes, the pool is smaller, but the pool is almost always guaranteed to be someone who has way more experience than you at that point.
Matt Mercer. You're going to lose a lot of work to Matt Mercer.
You're going to lose a lot of work to Matt Mercer. No.
And Troy. You're gonna lose work. If you're a boy, you're gonna lose work to Matt, Troy, and
get some experience losing rejection to people with like 7 digits in their Twitter tag. Like,
yeah.
And only go by that name. Like, get that part of like the emotional work and frankly like the experience and getting your reps in out of the way. Like, before you limit the scope of your work.
Because again, like I said, as I've been learning and growing throughout the years with our voice actors, I've worked with a lot of people at Joyride who have always been like union. They've met the requirements and they initially refuse. And when I first encountered that, I was always confused. I was like, why wouldn't you do? Why would you not want to be in the union? Like, again, that, because I was young at the time when I asked these questions, it's that affirmation. It's those protections. And as I've learned through the years and as they've taught me, it's, you will get your opportunities limited. And again, that's not a bad thing. It's just, you need to establish yourself first. You need to find your comfort. You need to find your reading. You need to find your territory. And once your territory is established and good, that's when you hop on that union. Because then you get yourself protected.
Right. And that's also like, another caveat is like, it also will depend on where you live, because, there are, you know, for better or worse, right to work states in the U.S. If you're in, I think it's 3 gigs from, if you're not working in a right to work state, right? Say I live in Vermont. Vermont's not a right to work state. If I book 3
as opposed to Texas, our audience
Texas,
knows
Idaho and actually here.
Yeah. So
not in Michigan.
Why do we hire here?
What?
Sorry. I thought that my company only hired in right to work states, and I think I might be incorrect.
No. No, I think
your day job,
Governor...
nothing voice acting related.
Yeah,
right?
Nothing voice acting related.
Just to clarify. Yeah.
Governor Whitmer repealed those.
But yeah, but so the audience room, I brought this up a couple times, but just a refresher that a right to work state is they don't require a union.
They don't require a union, and they can fire you whenever they want for whatever reason they want, whether or not they tell you that reason.
Yeah. And so that's why folks like Crunchyroll headquarters themselves in Texas.
If you're in a right to work state, you can do as many jobs under a union contract as you want and not have to join, is my understanding.
Yeah, it's the flip side of that, like on the worker side.
Right. And if I, like, say you live in a place like me, like Vermont, it's not a right to work state. If I work a certain number of jobs, I don't remember exactly what the number is. I think it's 3 under a union contract, or if I get Taft-Hartley or whatever, I'm what's considered a must join. Right. Mm. So I'd have to, which I'm okay with that. At some point, I'd love to join the union. Mainly because, hey, who doesn't want health care and a pension, right?
I'll say at the time but I'm also, full-time, I can imagine it will be very delightful, but that is at least, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
That's a ways down the road, yeah.
It's definitely a you know when it's time. You know when it's time. It's a, it's definitely something you have to like be able to judge for yourself when what the right time is, what lifestyle you want to live, what you know, how much money are you making. It's there's a lot of factors that go into it, but you know your life better than anyone else, and that would be and that's basically what you're judging it on, as far as wanting to join. And and you know, I'm not a union talent. I know union talent. I know there are union talent that make a lot of money. There are union talent that work a lot of cool jobs. They're able to like work for specific companies and do whatever they want to do. I know there's a ton of nuance I'm completely foregoing here, but you know, for the sake of like a minutes long discussion about it, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm
saying. It's so important because a lot of our listeners are aspiring voice actors, in quotes. I mean, if you voice act, you're a voice actor. That's why I say air quotes.
Yeah, take that shit out of your bio. You're a voice actor.
You're a young voice actor. And I think these are some of the things that get missed, because when you're young and you don't have much money to invest, you don't get to take those little intro business courses, which we just did an abridged version of here. It's like, you gotta understand your fucking rights. You gotta understand what's good and bad competition. You gotta understand that just because something looks nice and affirming doesn't mean it's right for you at that moment.
Quick plug here, actually. I am not sponsored by these people. I'm just
By the way, we're not sponsored by LinkedIn, by the way.
That's completely different thing. So, but no, I want to plug here the a company that I just like am a, you know, I subscribe to them. If you're an aspiring voice actor and you want a place to learn some of this stuff on the cheap, check out Strawberry Hill Studios. Like, it's like $30 a month, but if you really buckle down for a month or two, you can work through a lot of their library. Because they have both like courses as well as like a very huge archive of their past workshops. So just a little shout out while we're here.
What's that one other service where it's like a master class? Like, it's just that website where
Skills Hub.
Yep. It's like that.
I'm gonna try out that one next.
Yeah, but it's like that specifically for voice actors and young voice actors. Like, get your foundations.
I thought Skills Hub was voice actors specifically.
I want to have another one that's more generalized.
You're thinking of Coursera, I think.
Skills Hub has more general course stuff, coursework, but it also has a voiceover specific one.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but yeah. Basically the old. Go ahead, Cody.
I was just gonna say like stuff like that. I think Jen Hale's actually like part of that. I think. Mm-hmm. But one other, while we're talking about services like that, one thing I would like to, I'd like to plug it. That's Gravy for the Brain. That's another one where you can get a ton of great info. And like, there's so much, there's like new webinars every X number of times. Like it's a company that teaches people how to be voice actors, by pros all over the industry, wherever they might be. It's based in the UK, but I think it's worldwide now.
Oh, nice.
And they're the people who put on the One Voice conference in Dallas.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that.
Yeah. Hugh and Peter and Jay Michael, and they're doing good work, and it's a great place. It's got hundreds and hundreds of hours of content, and it's fairly inexpensive. I don't know exactly what it is, but like if you sign up for a month and you're able to just like buckle down, you could get through a lot of what you do. They also got like a small business class. I heard, I've never actually taken it, but I've heard nothing but good things, and I've met Hugh and I've met Peter and I've met Jay Michael, and that whole organization is just very solid.
Okay, we are reaching the top of the hour here, so is there any quick final thoughts from you two?
We're not sponsored by Gravy for the Brain, also.
Yeah, we're not sponsored by Gravy for the Brain, we're not sponsored by LinkedIn, we're not sponsored by Strawberry Productions, no
Strawberry
one.
Hill Studios.
Strawberry Hill Studios. They should all sponsor us, though. There's only like 9 episodes left to sponsor. But yeah, as we wind down this episode, wind down this show, that's the reason why I brought you two on here towards the end here, not just to help me affirm that the Pacific Northwest is overrated, but also for the fact that for our young voice
for
actors.
Our young, which for, we for will young. Eat after this train ride.
Like hamsters. The young voice actors listening, the work in voice acting work isn't just auditioning. That's the over-summary message of this particular episode. Because Val and I's journey through this industry is very different from you, Stina, and you, Cody's. It's very different. There's very different paths, but it's more than just auditioning for things, folks. And it's worthwhile. It is worthwhile effort, but I think for a lot of folks, it's more than what they bargained for. They don't realize that you can't just act. There's business sense. There's also just having to be very realistic with yourself and your needs. Because like I said, there's very different people in this industry. Like I talk about the guy who he just wants to do anime, even though he knows it doesn't pay. He just, his entire goal life is just to voice act in anime, and he does a lot, and you'll never know his name because he'll never let you know.
I need to get there someday.
There's a specter out there, and Crunchyroll loves him.
Go places, meet people, do things. Like make the you'll be able to find things in VO that you maybe you didn't think you would, but it was it's definitely worthwhile.
My last thought is humble yourself. Go into a class and revel in the feeling that you are the least talented actor in the room for a minute. Like, I think that helps keep it real while also helping you realize, like, the level I am at, I am still, like, allowed to be in the same learning environment and to learn from, like, my peers that are farther ahead of me. Either skill wise or like connections wise, like it's an honor to be there, and it's an honor to like get better by learning from other people who do what I do and love what I love. So that's my final voice acting tidbit.
Cody, is there anything you want to plug before you go? Like, is there anything that just recently, the most recent thing, project that has you in it that's come out? Do you want to plug
that? Most recent thing? I don't know if I can say, actually. It's not because of NDAs, but maybe because it's proprietary.
It costs us money to say it.
No, it wouldn't even do that. It's just I think it's like specifically business centered. These specific company centered, and
yeah.
you wouldn't know it was me unless you were working for these companies.
True. Yeah, so you are the corporate narrator, so that makes sense.
Yeah, I do a lot of that.
No glitz and glamour, but lots of money for Codeboy.
I have a thing to plug, actually.
Yeah, plug it, Stina.
Yeah. So there's going to be a little short animated film I'm going to be in coming out soon, which is called Musical Pipers. It's really beautiful. It's got two pretty popular voice actresses in the main roles. I can't remember both their names right now, so I'm not going to say who either of them are. Just look the project up and you'll find them. Another incentive to do that. It's gonna be so cute. It's an adorable little musical animation short, so check it out when it comes out from Rambu on YouTube. R-A-M is in Mary, V is in boy, U.
Well, that's a fun little story, and that I should mention is we talk about auditioning, that how voice acting isn't just all auditioning. You auditioned for that. There was a big audition campaign for that specific project.
It was huge.
It was huge in the voice acting scene. If you're into voice acting, you probably already heard about this already. Because it was like everyone was, they encouraged people to post their video like publicly, and and a great marketing campaign, by the
way.
Brilliant on their part. That's why it got so fucking popular. You auditioned, did not get the parts, but because they liked you so much, they just gave you some roles in there.
Yeah, anyone who is not the main two is voiced by me. Like, confirmed. Character in that script.
You got every role that you did not audition for. Wasn't available to audition. Because, again, it's not all just audition. Again, it's business. It's talking to these people.
When
it's
you
being
audition,
encouraging.
You are auditioning for parts that may not have even been written yet.
Yeah.
Like, every audition you have could lead to future work. Be memorable and professional. Anyway.
Exactly. But, yeah. With that all said, we're gonna run, since Val's not here, and so we don't get to have the controversial conversation. Guys, the last thing we'll say before we go, don't audition for problematic shit. Clearly, problematic shit.
Yeah, don't audition for problematic shit.
You will get found out in this social media environment. We commended Cody for chasing his paycheck, but don't chase a paycheck because you know it's problematic and will have less competition. You will get bit in the ass. Yep. Anyone, again, who's on voice actor Twitter knows exactly what we're talking about.
Your integrity needs to be worth more than a paycheck.
Your integrity, again, you're not just a voice actor. You are a business. You are a product. I know that sounds dehumanizing.
You are a human person. And you are a temple. You should fucking act like one.
You are a temple built into the cliff of the Pacific rainy Northwest. A beautiful temple. Treat yourself right, all right? Treat yourself well. Take care of that. No blemishes, no marks, all right? But anyways, we gotta go. Thanks for listening. I am hoping to get someone else involved. As I said, we got Cody on the business side of things. As we wind down to our final 9 episodes, I'm trying to get some more pro people here before we go. So look forward to that. Hopefully, though, next week I get Val back. We miss him, don't we, folks? Until then, everyone, take care.
Mind the gap as you exit our podcast safely. Rebuild of Joycast is hosted by Ivan Leroy and Valentine Stokes. Leroy's written and directed works can be found on the Joyride Entertainment YouTube channel. Val's dulcet tones can be heard in many of your favorite anime and web series, such as Ruby, Lackadaisy, Gunbuster, Death Battle, and more. Audio engineering by Stina Carey. Music provided by Lo-Fi Geek. Intro and outro narration by Stina Carey. Outro music composed by Michael Payovich. Logo and visuals designed by Ivan Leroy. Keep the conversation going by visiting Joyride's public Discord server, where you can discuss this week's topics and more. Patreon donors also get access to our weekly anime watch club with cast and crew. Links provided in the description. Rebuild of Joycast is produced by Joyride Entertainment and Rock Voice Productions, LLC, and made possible thanks to Patreon donations from generous listeners like you. Thank you for keeping Joyride's engine burning.